This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have music from the Neblett family, a special Reflections of Hope episode, a new morning devotional from Pastor Mark Finley, and more.
Come along with us. Good morning and happy Friday, friends. Welcome to Wake Up With Hope on National Donut Day.
Wow, National Donut Day?
Yes, that's right.
I love donuts.
It's National Donut Day. But this day, it's not just a day that originated because somebody wanted to eat donuts. Mm-hmm. It actually has a very special significance.
Yes, it does, friends. And it goes all the way back to the First World War. There was a certain military doctor who sought to brighten the day of the wounded soldiers he worked on. So, on his first day at the base, he bought 8 dozen donuts and gave one to each soldier he worked on. And of course, it made a difference and it made history.
Yes, you know, what a nice gesture. You know, we should always try to brighten the corner where we are, as the popular song says. And we hope to do that this morning as well as we begin our program. So let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On June 2, 1935, Babe Ruth, one of the greatest players in the history of baseball, ended his major league playing career. After 22 seasons, 10 World Series, and 714 home runs. The following year, Ruth, a larger-than-life figure whose name became synonymous with baseball, was one of the first 5 players inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame. Are you retired? Maybe you know people who are. Retirement is often a bittersweet moment in the lives of many. It's often a time where someone can focus on spending more time with their loved ones or enjoying the things they really love to do.
Retirement season is also a time when the end of something has come. You know, it reminds me of Paul when his ministry here was drawing to a close. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know, friend, as we draw near to the end of this world, and the second coming of Jesus even draws near, may we also be found fighting the good fight of faith, so that we too can, like Paul, be sure that there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us. Don't let anything stand in your way. Just cling to Jesus and don't let go.
Amen. Thank you for those words of hope. My Redeemer is faithful and true. May we never forget it. The Neblett family joins us now as they sing this traditional hymn.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer's faithful and true. My Redeemer's faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning, His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing. are new.
My Redeemer is faithful and true.
And in every situation, He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, more grace He gives to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
If you're enjoying our program, don't forget to visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup to share us with your friends and loved ones. And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a short break now, but when we return, we'll be sharing a powerful Reflections of Hope episode. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Social media has undoubtedly taken a significant part in the lives of most people around the world today. How can we take a break and reflect on what matters the most? Taj Pachlav explores this on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
Growing up in Hawaii, people would always have to ask my name twice. Either they couldn't pronounce it, or they couldn't believe that such a name existed. They just never heard it before. I'd always have to tell them my name is Taj, like the Taj Mahal, and then they would get it. Because it was so unusual, I was always self-conscious about my name. It wasn't until I got older, and much more secure in who I was and whose I was, that I began to appreciate my short, simple, three-letter, one-syllable name. The name Taj is Arabic in origin, though I'm not Arabic by blood. I'm Filipino, Mexican, and German, born and raised in Hawaii, but with an Indian name. So how did I get such an unusual name? Well, when I was in my mother's womb, my parents saw a poster of the Taj Mahal, and they said, wow, that's a nice building, that's a nice name, and so here I am today. Because of my name, I've always felt a special connection with India, and so you can imagine how excited I was when I was invited to come to India to preach the gospel. And since we're here, I'm so excited to go visit my Indian palace, the Taj Mahal. The name Taj means crown. The word Mahal means palace. So the Taj is the crown palace. It is the great symbol of love here in India. It was in the early 1600s that the Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan built the Taj as a monument of love for his fourth wife. The emperor's fourth wife was called Mumtaz Mahal, which means beloved ornament of the palace. The Taj was the king's crown, and she was the ornament in his crown. Tragically, she passed away after giving birth to their 14th child. But because of his great love for her, the king built the Taj to be the final resting place for the wife that he loved so much. And even though it's called the crown palace, it is actually a mausoleum, a glorified tomb that contains the memory and the remains of the empress, as well as the emperor that loved her so much. So with this romantic love story, forever linked with my name, I'm super excited to visit the Crown Palace today. After passing through the outer court, we entered through the northern gate. And when my eyes hit the Taj for the first time, I was taken back by its beauty. All was magnificent and glorious. Everything was easy on the eyes. Because of the translucent nature of the white marble, the color tone changes with the transitioning light of the sun, moon, and stars. In the morning sunrise, it has a pinkish hue, yellowish at noon and milky white in the evening, and goldenish when standing in the light of the full moon. It is enhanced by the marble lotus pond with 24 fountains of water. There are intricate designs of orchids, roses, and lilies made of jasper, jade, crystal, sapphire, and over 28 kinds of precious and semi-precious stones that are inlaid in the marble walls. Everything is perfectly symmetrical, even down to the designs on the walls. The history books tell us that it took over 1,000 transporting elephants to carry all the building materials. And it took over 20,000 laborers, sculptors, calligraphers, inlayers, and stone cutters over 20 years to complete. No wonder why they call it the Crown Palace, one of the seven wonders of the world. The closer we got, the more beautiful it became, and the more excited I grew. I thought to myself, man, if this is what the outside looks like, then the inside must be absolutely spectacular. But upon entering into the threshold of the door, it wasn't what I expected. Instead of being grand, glamorous, and glorious, it was cold, dark, and empty. There are no benches or chairs for people to sit, rest, and relax. There are no rooms for rent for couples to spend the night in the Palace of Love. There are no signs to read or places to explore. In fact, there is no practical purpose for the empty space within, except to house the remains of the king and his wife. The interior of the Taj is a place of darkness and death. It is filled with profound emptiness. You see, my friends, human nature is kind of like the Taj Mahal. It's so easy for us to spend so much time and invest so much energy and building up and beautifying the outward appearance. Our pride yearns for the recognition and validation of others. We live for the Instagram likes and the Facebook followers. Unfortunately, the world has placed the most value on that which is outward, a pretty face or a hard body, a winsome smile or a charming personality, a fast car or a comfortable home. Aesthetics and athletics are the things that are most valued and most celebrated in our world of vanity. But these things don't last forever. Time and gravity changes it all. In fact, the Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Our temporal lives are like a drop in the bucket and a vapor in the wind. Make no mistake about it, friends. Our health is better than our wealth, and the person more important than the package. For the Bible says that the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, the call of our Creator is to allow Him to beautify the interiors of our lives. Why? Because the content of your character is far more important and far more lasting than the cosmetics of the container. Now don't misunderstand, both are important. For we represent who we serve on the inside as well as on the outside. But one is far more important than the other. Because even though we may get the outside looking just right, perfectly symmetrical and stunning, sometimes we still feel empty, dark, and cold on the inside. And in light of this reality, I appeal to you today. Don't focus your time and energy in trying to hide the insecurities within behind a fading facade. Instead, open your heart up to God. He is the divine interior designer and the beautifier of character. And today He desires to transform you from an empty mausoleum for the dead into a living palace where the King of Kings shall reside. And if you will, He will make you a real crown palace, a spiritual Taj Mahal, crowned with the glory and the honor of a Christ-like character. His love will make you alive again, no longer empty, but filled with the blessed hope, the sublime peace, and the holy joy of seeing the crowned King at His return. And when He comes, that same King will place the golden Taj upon your brow as you enter into the Palace of Life. And there you will receive the white stone of pardon and a new name of a better identity, saturated with the Spirit, satisfied with salvation, and filled to overflowing. And by God's grace, I'll meet you in that crown palace above.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup. And of course, you can search for us on YouTube, check out our channel, and keep up with us there. Coming up right after the break, Pastor Mark Finley will join us to share today's devotional thought. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. How are you enjoying the program this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
Pastor Mark Finley now joins us to share a devotional thought.
Proverbs shoots an arrow from the Lord's quiver directly into the target of our hearts. When you read Proverbs, you are moved by its straightforward teaching and its wise counsel. Here in Proverbs 20, verse 23, Solomon gives us an appeal to honesty. He says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good." What's that talking about? Well, let's go back to the Middle East again. Let's suppose that I'm going to buy a very precious spice, but the seller of that spice will need to weigh it out. So you have these balance scales. He puts weights on one side. Let's suppose he puts 12 ounces on this side. Then he's supposed to put 12 ounces of spice on this side, so they're even. But what if the weights on this side are not 12 ounces, but what if they're 10 ounces? But he tells me they're 12. So he saves on the precious spice 2 ounces each time to make a profit. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good. Proverbs appeals for honesty and integrity in all that we do. The story of Captain Joseph Bates is the story of a man that had amazing honesty, amazing integrity. God longs for us to live with integrity, longs for us to live with honesty. Joseph Bates had sold, on one occasion, quite a bit of cargo down in the Caribbean when he was traveling in the Caribbean. And he sold this cargo to a tribal chief there. Bates left in the boat to travel back home, and he recognized that the tribal chief had overpaid him. Bates had spent many, many years in the sea as a sea captain. So what was he to do? He recognizes that he's been overpaid. He's sailing away. This is in the 19th century. And he decides to turn the boat back, to go back to pay this man's fee back to him. And the chief is just amazed. This is why Joseph Bates established so many positive relationships every place he went. Because Joseph Bates, one of the early Seventh-day Adventist leaders, was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. He was a man that paid debts on his ships. He paid his crew a just wage. On one occasion, Joseph Bates had a dream. And he dreamed that God wanted him to go to Battle Creek, Michigan. John F. Loughborough, another Adventist pioneer, tells the account. He says that Joseph Bates has this strong impression from a dream. It prompts him to change his travel plans and to go to Battle Creek in 1852. Now, there were no known Adventists that were going to live there. So Joseph Bates comes to inquire of the postmaster. As he comes to the postmaster, he says to the postmaster, "Who is the most honest man in this town, the man that has most integrity?" The postmaster says to Joseph Bates, "Well, I can tell you the man. It's David Hewitt." And so Joseph Bates goes to the home of David Hewitt early in the morning, knocks on the door. "Mr. Hewitt, yes, I understand that you are the most honest man in town." Hewitt says, "Well, some people might say that." And he said, "I have something I want to share with you. Can I come into your home and study the Bible?" So they study together. And they study on the Bible Sabbath. Bates had accepted the Sabbath. And the Hewitts accepted after one day of Bible study. So they study the prophecies of Daniel, the prophecies of Revelation. And Hewitt invites his neighbors to come in. And this small band of believers found at that place in Battle Creek began to meet in Hewitt's home. And it was there in 1853 that two more founders of the Adventist Church, James and Ellen White, along with Loughborough, meet with these believers in their first visit to Battle Creek. The arrival of these workers just thrilled, just absolutely thrilled these new early Adventists there. But what was it that caused Joseph Bates to go looking for David Hewitt? It was Bates' own honesty. It was Bates' own integrity. It was the fact that Joseph Bates was a man of character, and he wanted to find somebody else that was a person of character that he could witness to. This idea of honesty, this idea of integrity, this idea of character is found here in the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is not good." In other words, live a life of honesty. Live a life of integrity. Live a life in which your character is the most important thing in your life. You know, my father taught me this from a very, very young age. One day, Dad and I were walking home from church. By this time, I was about 17. I had become a Seventh-day Adventist. And as we were walking home from church that particular day, it was a fall day in New England where I lived, was born and brought up in the state of Connecticut. The leaves had fallen off the tree, so quite a few leaves on the sidewalk. And Dad kicked a few leaves, and he saw an envelope there. Now, we didn't have a lot of money in those days at all. And Dad saw that envelope. He picked it up, and as he looked at that envelope, there was maybe $150 or $160 in cash in the envelope. Dad looked, and he knew immediately what had happened. On Friday, in our town, in the mills, we had a mill town. On Friday in those towns, people got paid. And Dad knew somebody had gotten paid. No name on the envelope at all. No way of identifying it. And I'm looking at this money. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, $100, 110, 20, 30, $150. And I knew that Dad was working a couple jobs. I knew that we didn't have much money. And I thought, man, this is wonderful. And Dad looks at me and said, "You know, Mark, somebody lost this money. And I know that they're going to be really sad. We've got to find that person." So Dad goes down to the police station. He said, "Look, I found this envelope filled with money." And ours was a very close town, a small community. And he said, "I'm going to leave this envelope here." Dad left it there. And then we discovered that the person found that they had lost the money. They went to the police, and the police gave them back the money. But here's the end of that story. Years later, 30 years later, I'm the speaker of It Is Written Television. People see my name, Mark Finley, and they say, "Wait a minute. There was a Finley that the police said turned in this money. We didn't know where he lived. They wouldn't give us his address because it was confidential. I wonder if this Mark Finley has anything to do with this James Finley who turned in the money." And so we get a call at It Is Written Television. 30 years later, "Pastor Mark, we're watching you on television. And was it your father that turned in the money?" Indeed it was. And I think of Psalm 66, verse 2 and 3. "Sing out honor to the name of God." This couple had a deeper relationship with Jesus because they made that linkage of what Dad did those years before. Honesty, integrity makes a major difference. Walk into your day today determined by the grace of God to live an integrity life, a life filled with integrity.
Thank you, Pastor Finley, for those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow as well. We will have several special features and a devotional thought just for you. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed just with you in mind.
That's right. And you heard us right. They're free. Again, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and very encouraged. And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. It's found in John chapter 6, verse 35.
It says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
What a promise. He promises to fill us as we spend time in His Word and doing His works. And if you're looking for a life of fulfillment, friends, look to the one who has promised to fill you. And it's a promise that will never fail.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, many of us are waking up to a new day and our stomachs are empty and we feel weak. We're ready to eat and be energized. And in the same way, Lord, we want you to energize us spiritually. Fill our cup, Lord. Give us that bread of life, that water of life, that we might be satisfied and filled with hope. So today, Lord, we thank you for everything we experienced, everything we saw and heard. May we keep it in our hearts so that it will carry us through this day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.